In our congregation meeting, I forgot to end up with the Lord's Prayer. So let's practice. And after my prayer, let's all pray together, our Lord's Prayer together. And Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for giving us your word. Without your word, there's no way we can know you. We can reach you and we can believe you. So thank you so much for your self-revelation and through the word, even through the nature. Heavenly Father, this is a great time for us to open the Bible and focus our minds, nothing but to Christ. So Lord, help us. Lord, encourage us. Lord, renew our hearts through your word. As I'm going to open and read the passage, would you please bless my lips and help me so that I will talk about only our Lord Jesus Christ, only you, nothing else. Nothing about the world, nothing about something happening around us, but only about you, our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Our text is from the book of Acts, chapter 11. Chapter 11, verses 19 through 30. Actually, this is part 2, because we covered part 1 a few weeks ago. This is the word of God. Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews. But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists, also preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. And he came and saw the grace of God. He was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with a steadfast purpose, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year they met with the church and taught a great many people. And in Antioch the disciples were first called Christians. Now in these days the prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. And one of them, named Agabus, stood up and foretold by the Spirit that there will be a great famine over the world. This took place in the days of Claudius. So the disciples determined every one according to his ability to send relief to the brothers living in Judea. And then they did so, sending it to the elders by the hand of Barnabas and Saul. This is the word of God.
Children's worship sermon, we have so many things to say thank you, Lord, and at the same time, because we remember many things, because we just celebrated 2016 Thanksgiving Day. Now, as Christians, we are also preparing our hearts to celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's on.
One, two, three, four. Ah. Now it's on. And as we are celebrating Thanksgiving Day, and as we are preparing our hearts for the coming of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, during this Advent season, I want to ask you the same question that I asked to the children. Do we have good news to share with our brothers and sisters? If you do, what is about it? What is good news for you? Probably you are thinking right now in your mind and thinking about your family trip, your family reunion. You know, about probably thinking of your successful story this year, how God blessed you over the year using your gifts and talents. But sometimes many things that happen to us, we praise God and we want to share that good news. And then we can say that we have many things to share, many good news to share at this moment as we look back 2016. But interestingly, in the New Testament, the word good news appears only 40 times. And including the Old Testament, it could be like a 36, and so total will be 76 times. Now, the meaning of the good news in the New Testament is the variety. We can see lots of different things. But among all of good news, different setting, different meanings, but among all these meaning of good news, Luke 2, verse 1 gives the best illustration of the meaning of the good news. It says, "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.'" And even Isaiah from the Old Testament, chapter 9 and verse 6 says, For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called," it says wonderful things later on, "Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, and Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace." So when we are thinking of our Lord Jesus Christ, and as we just read from Luke and Isaiah, the gospel is the best good news. The only good news for all the people is Christ, the coming of the Messiah. And then Luke says it's a source of great joy for all the people. Great joy in our hearts, great joy for other people, because this good news is about the forgiveness of sins that we cannot handle. We don't know how to do with our sins. We're miserable, as the Heidelberg Catechism teaches. But this good news brings to us and brings to other people that our sins are forgiven. This good news is that our relationship, our broken relationship with God is restored in Jesus Christ. That is good news. So thinking about this year, among many good news, good things around you, we know that Jesus Christ is truly the source of our great joy all the time. It is the good news of good news. It is the best news. Then what? If you have the good news, then next question is what? Now, the true biblical fact is that people in the early church never stopped sharing this good news with other people. Now, the theme of the bringing the good news of the kingdom, is everywhere in the New Testament. Even we can find in the Old Testament. The sharing the good news of Jesus Christ is literally exploded in the book of Acts. And also it is the fulfillment of what Jesus said in the book of Acts in chapter 1 and verse 8. He promised that the gospel will go through the world, go out to the world. Everyone will hear this good news, both Jews and Gentiles, even you and me. We heard that good news. Now, from Acts chapter 1 and 7, the author of the book, Luke tells us about the expansion of the first church. And then Luke 8 is a little bit different, because Luke describes that how this good news changed the world. It started from Acts chapter 8. Because not only Jews heard the good news, but Gentiles and other people heard the good news starting from Acts 8. And in Acts 8, verse 12, it says, "And when they believed Philip, as he preached the good news about the kingdom of God, the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both man and woman." For everybody. We look at the chapter 10, and Peter summarizes the power of the good news for the Gentiles. In chapter 10, verses 36 through 42, Peter talks about the Word. Good news is about the Word. It is about Jesus Christ. It is about God's promise to His people. And then he teaches that God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Spirit. He sent Jesus Christ to us. And Peter preach that He died on a cross for our sins. But God raised Jesus Christ from the dead on the third day. Jesus Christ resurrected from the death. And then verse 42, in chapter 10, verse 42, He commanded, now job expands to us, He commanded us to preach to people and testify that He is the one anointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. That is a simple summary of the gospel. We declare that Jesus Christ is the King of kings and Lord of lords. He is the one. He is the true judge of the living and the dead. He is our Lord. The Peter summarized that wonderful message to the Cornelius and his family members. Even Paul describes in the New Testament in Romans, the good news is all about God's love for the sinners. It's not only for good people, but it's for everyone. And then Paul describes that because God showed His love for everyone while they were, and we were still sinners. That means we didn't deserve God's love. But because God's love covers us, He showed His love while we were sinners, how Christ died for us. So we need to remember at this time of season, as we are going to celebrate the Advent season in December, remember the gospel, the meaning of the gospel, meaning of the good news to us. Now the interesting thing is, what's happening when we share the good news? What happened to the early church when they shared the good news? That is about chapter 11 that we just read. The result of sharing the good news was obvious for the early Christians. In verse 24 in chapter 11, a great many people were added to the Lord. As we just saw how children's message went, we just clicked the button. We just shared the gospel. It went out to the world, and a great many people were added to the Lord. That is the power of the gospel. Now, from this verse, two things we have to consider. Firstly, the result of sharing the good news will bring many people to the church. But secondly, important thing is, but church growth is not our action, not our job, but it's a divine action. The relationship between church growth and sharing the good news is crucial for the first century Christians, even to us. And people share the good news everywhere they go, and then God added people to His church. That's wonderful to see. It is our call to bring the message of Jesus Christ to everywhere. And it is God's job and His work to bring people to His church. Now, another interesting fact about our text is this. The first century church grew with persecution. In verse 19, "Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose of Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews." Now, we have to remember the simple fact about Stephen. And he was a leader of the Hellenists, which is You know, we have to remember that there are two groups in the first church in Jerusalem, Jews and the Hellenists, and Hebrews and Hellenists, and Jews who had emerged from either Aramaic or Greek-speaking countries and synagogues. We call them the Hellenists. Now, Stephen was one of them, and we know that he was one of seven deacons. He was a leader of them. Now, his preaching to the Sanhedrin brought lots of trouble to the Hellenist Jew people. We know that Stephen was stoned to death. He was killed. And because of his position, his preaching, and his leadership, the Hellenist Christians were persecuted. That's kind of unfair. At the time, we see that the Jerusalem church was fine because that's not Hellenist church, but mostly Hebrew Christians. So many Hellenist believers, they had to go somewhere. And in our text, it said that they were scattered throughout the world. It looks like really sad things are happening in their lives. But what we see is that the relationship between the persecution and the people of God is awesome, sometimes great. Even we know that persecution and people of God, that relationship is nothing new to us. Because Jesus one time says in Luke chapter 20 and verse 12, but before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you. Jesus already said that you will be persecuted, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. So we know that it is coming. Now, what strikes us today is not about persecution, but how God uses persecution to enhance the kingdom of God. The Church of Jesus Christ has grown and multiplied through not blessing, but persecution. Now, it is both historically and biblically proven that God strengthens his church with many persecutions. Even God purifies the church through lots of persecutions. And all the persecutions cause the believers. That is the beauty of persecution. All the persecutions caused the believers to boldly bring the message of Jesus Christ to other people. So, what we see here right now is this severe persecution could not stop the early believers talking about Jesus Christ to others. They were literally scattered all over the world with the power of the gospel, although they were persecuted. And then by our text, it says what they did in verse 19. The first one, what they did is speaking the word to one except Jews. Now here the important wording is speaking the word. Even verse 20 says preaching the Lord Jesus. The meaning of speaking in verse 19 is proclaim in the original language. And the meaning of preaching in verse 20 is announce, the same meaning, proclaim, announce. But it comes with a little bit more words. Verse 20, preaching means announce good news. Bring good news. So it is interesting for us to see what they did in the middle of their suffering. They were not blessed. They were not doing good. They gave their lives to the Lord. Probably they expected something different, new things, because most of them came from different natures, different cultures, different countries. They were not blessed, but they were persecuted because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Now, thinking about the realities of these people, what the Hellenist believers saw, what they saw was nothing but death of Stephen. So you could be one of them. If you keep preaching the message of Jesus Christ, what do you believe? You could be one of them. That's what they saw. Okay, I'm going to die if I'm going to talk about Jesus Christ. It is human nature to be angry when we see this kind of situation. Because we see injustice, something is not right. We get easily angry about this when we are suffering. But look at these people in chapter 11. These people, even Luke doesn't tell us about their names. These unknown people in chapter 11, they boldly proclaim the word and preach the Lord Jesus Christ while they were suffering. Now it reminds us of what Peter says. He says, for to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. So we will be celebrating the Christmas season, but this is a good time for us to think about why he came. He showed us an example, so that you might follow in his step, which is, he was suffered, and we will be suffered. And we are suffering with Christ, and we are actually suffering for Christ. That happened to the early Christians in chapter 11. But unfortunately, what we see right now around us is contemporary churches seldomly preach the gospel of persecution, but they are preaching about the gospel of blessings and even success. We want to hear those kind of preachings. We're hungry for that. We want to be blessed. We want more and more blessings. We don't want to think about persecutions in the Bible. Now, nothing's wrong with God's blessings. Yeah, we need God's blessings for our lives. But the true gospel the Bible talks about is, it's now about blessings, 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 and successful stories that people will praise you and you'll be sitting in a higher position. Not about that. But the true thing is, the true gospel in the Bible is, it is about the word. It is about preaching Christ. Christ-centered message is the good news for everyone. That's why the first century people in Antioch, they did speak the word, verse 19, and 20, preach Christ in verse 20. Now we wonder, why is that? Why they were preaching and sharing the message of Jesus Christ while they were suffering? What exactly made these persecuted people to boldly proclaim the word and bring the message of Jesus Christ to another world? Now, our text tells about it. That is verse 22. Now, the Jerusalem church heard about what happened in Antioch. So, the work of Jesus Christ happening in Antioch, and then they heard about the work of these unknown people in Antioch. So Jerusalem church, we believe that Peter involved, heard about this happening, these incredible stories of the persecuted believers scattered throughout the world, and they literally started many, many, many churches. So some of the theologians said that this is the first church planting vision that we see in the book of Acts. Now, an amazing thing is this. These people, unknown people, persecuted people, were not the apostles. They were not leaders of the church like a Stephen or a Philip that we know. Now, as the leaders of the first century church, Jerusalem people, disciples, had to investigate. They had to send somebody to find out the truth of this church and the Antioch church, what's happening in there. So they dispatched one person. We know him, Barnabas. And then sent him and then asked him to investigate what's happening there to make sure that everything is right. They're not talking about different things, but they're talking about the real things about Jesus Christ, the gospel. And this is what our text says in verse 23. When he, the Barnabas, came and see that he saw the grace of God. Once again, Luke didn't tell us the name of these scattered people. However, Luke clearly explains why And how these persecuted people were able to preach Christ, not like the disciples, not like all the leaders of the church, because it was all about grace of God. That Barnabas found out, wow, it is about the grace of God among them. The grace of God is not something that we could see with our own eyes, but it is true that, it is true for Barnabas, that he was able to see the grace of God in the community in Antioch. That is an amazing thing that we really want to see in our church, in many churches in Spokane, even in the world. The grace of God that made these unknown people bring the message of Jesus Christ to the world. They don't care about persecuting. They don't care about they're going to die. But what they care about is the grace of God, the message of Jesus Christ. In the book of Acts, Luke tells about the grace of God, this famous phrase a few times. For example, chapter 4, verse 33 says, when the great power and apostle were giving their testimony to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and the great grace was upon them all. And once again in Acts 6 and verse 8, and Stephen, full of grace and power, was doing great wonders and signs among the people. What we see here is, from Luke's illustration, is that we know that the grace of God that we really want to have, that is a source of the gospel. The grace of God made people preaching Christ. We know that nothing special with these scattered people, scattered unknown people, persecuted people, but the grace of God made them very special. The Paul explains why the grace of God makes us very special. Based on Romans 5, because of grace, we are now able to stand before God. You and I, we came to church, worship God because of this grace. It's impossible without His grace, we are here sitting there. So Paul teaches that it's free. We don't buy God's grace. It's given to us through the death of Jesus Christ. And even 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9 says, Paul said, because of I know this grace, although I'm going through all kinds of difficulties and persecutions and brokenness of my life, Paul says, His grace is sufficient. That is the grace that Barnabas saw in the community in Antioch. Now the story that we just heard, the persecuted Christian in Antioch, actually challenges you and me and even our faith. Because we know that we are the one who received the grace of God. We know it, we feel it, and we want that grace of God in our lives. And even we need to go more. The grace of God should be visible. Although it's invisible, like Barnabas said, he saw the grace of God. It must be visible to others. But unfortunately, the reality is different. The grace of God would be visible when everything goes well. We praise God and we honor Him. However, when we are suffering, when things are not going well, when we disagree with things that some other people are doing, and then something happened to us. And when we are having lots of troubles in our lives, and then grace of God among us becomes invisible. The grace of God in the church becomes invisible. Because, not like the first century Christians, we don't speak the word. We don't preach the word. If we don't have grace of God, we don't speak and we don't preach Christ. What Barnabas saw was great and then something that we really need for. What Barnabas said to the church in Antioch is also interesting. And he said that And he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with a steadfast purpose. Now, in this verse, the Barnabas says basically two different things, two significant things. The first one is he encourages people in the church to remain in the Lord. Now, he saw that the grace of God is there, so he's asking, hey, remain there, remain, stay there, remain in the Lord. Now, the phrase remain is, we know that it's abide in the Lord from the book of John. And John says, abide in my word, chapter 8. Abide in me, chapter 6 and 15, even chapter 15 says, abide in my love. So it is obvious that Barnabas encouraged the Antioch believers to remain. Don't go somewhere because you already tasted the grace of God. Don't go somewhere, but remain in the teaching of Jesus Christ, in His word, in His love, and in His teaching, and literally living for Christ, that we should be there. Secondly, the Barnabas is saying is that with a steadfast purpose in our verse. An important word is found in the Greek text in this phrase. And ESV translates with a steadfast purpose, but RSV translated like a devoted heart. There is a heart in the original language. Even NIV says with all the hearts. Now, Barnabas encouraged the church in Antioch to be faithfully devoting themselves to the Lord with their hearts. Not just only their minds, but with everything devoting to the Lord, not a day, but all the time. That's what he said in the text. Maybe we are suffering today. Maybe we can say many churches in the world are suffering today. Even our church is suffering today. But the truth is, any suffering, even though we are not, you know, financially okay with supporting people and supporting missionaries, even that is our suffering. Any suffering of our life and of our church should not remove our faith in Jesus Christ. That's nothing. Now here, Barnabas encouraged the Antioch believers, said that, hey, I know that you will be suffered. I know that you're going through all kinds of troubles, but since you tasted the grace of God, now you abide in His word, in His love, in His grace. And you continue to devote yourselves to the Lord Jesus Christ during this difficult moment. Probably the first century people around the first century Christians, people around them, they thought that, okay, this new, brand new religion would be gone or fade away because of many things happening to them, persecutions. People don't like them. But we know the history proves that it's not true. When the church is full of grace, this is really important. When any church and even all the church, even our church is full of grace, when a church or the church, all the church abide in Jesus Christ, the church thrives and revives. And when our church is full of grace, it's visible, and our church is abide in Jesus Christ all the time, the church of Jesus Christ, we will continue to grow in number and in faith, although we're going to have lots of persecutions and troubles. Because the power of God is with us. So from our text, what we see is very different view. If we see that we are suffering, If we see that our church is suffering in many different ways, if we see that our nation is suffering, yes, we can pray for that. But you know what? From our text, this is the best time to speak the word, to preach Christ. This is the time. This is the best time to show the grace of God to the world, because we know that God will make us thrive. That's why in verse 26, in Antioch, the disciples were first called Christians. They didn't name them as Christians, but they were called, people called them. People out there saw different things. Wow, they are different. I pray that we hear the same phrase. They are different. A New Hope Church, people are different. I pray that people around us, neighbors, will make a new phrase, New Hope PN. The Christian means the follower of Jesus Christ. Now, the story of Antioch Christians comes down to us, to our life, because we see that our nation is suffering. And then we see that it seems like we are living in a pagan country. And also we see that our church is actually suffering, financially suffering. And sometimes we see all the troubles coming in and we don't know what to do. So somehow it is true that we are all suffering. We're all suffering from many things. Even our bodies are broken. Even our relationship to one another is completely broken and in danger. But verse 21, there is one truth. It tells that the Lord is still with us. We know the one thing, although we are broken, although we are suffering, still the Lord Jesus Christ is with us. The Lord, the God of Emmanuel, is with us today. That is grace of God. Even Isaiah chapter 7 and 14 says, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son and shall call his name Emmanuel. Which means, in our broken world, New Hope Church is the place, the preaching the message of Jesus Christ, because we bring the presence of Jesus Christ to the world, the God of Emmanuel. Now, the beauty of Advent season is that this season reminds you and me of the coming of Jesus Christ. He already came to the world to save us, and he sacrificed his life to redeem us from our sins. Even he resurrected from the death, to proclaim that he is the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, and he's ascended to heaven. Now, he fulfilled all the way down, but only one thing, he will come again. He will surely come again. So as this time of Advent season, we are waiting for his coming, the birth of Jesus Christ again and again. Brothers and sisters, the history of the church tells great things about our church. We cannot just stay here. We cannot just be quiet. But we need to bring the message of Jesus Christ to our neighbors, to our friends, to the world. Not our own power, but with the hand of the Lord, with the power of God, with the grace of God. We continue to remain in Christ. We continue to speak the word. We continue to preach Christ. That is what we have to remember this time of season. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, things are happening in our lives sometimes make us not to go out, not to preach and share the good news with people. What we see from our text is the first century Christians were persecuted, but they did not stop because the grace of God was there. The hands of the Lord was there. Lord, would you please encourage our church? Yes, we are suffering as a church. We are struggling. But Lord, we will not worry about these things around us. But we will continually remain in you, bring the message of Jesus Christ to our neighbors, to the world. We pray your Son in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.